I wanted to create sportswear for female athletes to give them the freedom to perform. I lived with so much restriction when I was playing sports in terms of my sports apparel. I remember being a sophomore, having a volleyball game, and we had these like booty spandex that were just a nightmare, and I had just started to grow, and that year I grew 6 inches. Every single move, I'm pulling my shorts down, and moms would come up to me like, oh, you have such a nice booty, like all this stuff. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, my dad's in the crowd. This is like so uncomfortable. I think that was when I was like, something is changing about my body and it's not right. The clothing reinforced that I was doing something wrong. And again, I took it out on myself. And then when the depression hit, the form of control was eating disorders, and that's all affects your physical body. And so that was something where it's like, I lived in so much restriction. But when I played my best, I was completely free. I didn't feel any of that.
What's happening, beautiful people? Welcome back to the Thrive After Sports podcast. We got a great episode lined up for you today, as always. This one is with my homegirl, Marina Paul. She's the author of this book, Becoming a Superhero. And she's also the founder of Superhero, which is revolutionizing women's sports apparel forever. You got to stick around to the end of the episode if you want to hear more about why that is, or you can just click the link in the show notes, go to superhero.com and check out what she's built. I've known Marina a long time, and it's incredible to see the work that she's doing now. In fact, if you go back to episode 7 on this podcast, I shared an episode where I was a guest on Marina's podcast. She used to host a podcast called We Are Jocks. That was my first time ever being interviewed as a guest on someone else's podcast. I almost don't want you to listen to it, because it's not very good, to be honest with you. She was great. I wasn't very good. It was my first podcast in 2018. But who knows? Maybe you'll listen to it and get inspired, and you'll be like, man, if Taj sounded like that and he was horrible and he's still hosting the podcast and getting some great guests and people are listening, then hopefully that'll inspire you to hang in there. But anyway, all the links to the Superhero website, all the links to follow her on social media are in the show notes. And of course, the link to join the Thrive After Sports collaborative community is in the show notes. Join up if you want to be connected with other like-minded current and former athletes who are doing great things. And as always, if there's ever any way I can support you in your transition into life after sports, you can thrive, not just survive, but thrive. Visit TajDeshawn.com. Let's get into this episode with Marina Paul. First of all, this is crazy that it's been, if it hasn't been 5 years, it's been almost 5 years since we've it's wild, yeah. You know, and you were the first person to interview me on your podcast. This was back in the day, back in the We Are Jocks days.
Yes.
But all right, for the people tuning in, I'm here with Marina Paul, the legend, the superhero herself. Marina, how do you introduce yourself these days?
It's such a good question. I'm so awkward with it. Everyone's like, you gotta have it very powerful and punchy and with confidence. But I am someone who started a sports apparel company, who wrote a book about my trauma. It's the what I'm building is so crucial to who I am in my life, that I just say, like, I am a builder of things that I love and problems I want to solve. And that's how I introduced myself. I built my book because I wanted to get through some pain and figure out what type of leader I was. And then I built my apparel company because I saw this massive opportunity in women's sports and had felt so restricted in my sports clothing before. So I just call myself like a builder of my passions, if that's acceptable, but it kind of just defines what I do.
I like that. You said a builder of things. You said something so, now I forgot it already. A builder of things
my passion.
And a solver of problem. You said something else earlier.
Oh yeah. And solving, building my passions and solving my problems.
That's good. I like that. That's dope. So let's take it back a little bit before, you know, before you were doing all these amazing things and author, you know, building this company, which is going to launch on Monday. If you're listening to this episode, go to superhero.com, right? That's the website.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and all that will be in the show notes, of course. But if you're listening to this episode, the official launch has just happened today. So we're going to get into what that is. But let's take it back. You played soccer at Georgetown. And what had, like, did you have aspirations of playing professionally, or where were you at towards the tail end of graduation?
I had become the best I'd ever been my fifth year. So my junior year, my fifth year of soccer, I peaked. I had been through so much emotionally and mentally with myself that while I loved the game, I almost was just exhausted by everything that I had gone through, that playing professionally seemed like I was avoiding a problem within myself that I like really needed to address. It's a bummer now because creating all these things, creating my dream, it's amazing, but still lives within me of like, could I have played more? Did I have more in me to like play? Because I'll go to games and I will be like, I want to be like her. I want to be on the field. I want to be feeling the feeling that she's feeling and not jealous of that player, genuinely wanting the best for her, but really being like, oh, did I fully live out my time as an athlete? But at the same time, I can't regret any of the decisions I made because each one of those incrementally has led up to what I'm doing today. And I could say without a doubt, I'm like fully living my dream. I think that playing professionally would have been amazing. I also think that I knew that my experience at Georgetown, especially with how far we got in going to the Final Four and the resources we had, it would never be the same because unfortunately, a lot of women's sports, professional sports, are so underfunded and under-resourced that I have friends who are playing in the NWSL, the Women's Professional League, and they work 2 to 3 jobs on top of that. And I saw, you know, Georgetown peers who are getting these massive signing bonuses and salaries from other companies. And I was like, that sounds appealing. Though I didn't actually go that route at first, I mean, honestly, the lack of resources, I think, in the league as well were another reason why I didn't want to pursue professional.
Yeah, that makes sense. It sounds like there was a lot of back and forth with like kind of, would you say you were almost burned out a little bit at a certain point? Or was it just more so looking at what the potential was that had you like, I don't know if I want to put myself in that situation where I could easily get burned out or not enjoy it as much?
I think both. I think I was burned out mentally from a mental health perspective of what I was going on inside in soccer. I knew that soccer couldn't be my crutch anymore. Mm-hmm. I think there was professional sports, while the name sounds appealing, in women's sports, we have so much more to go to make it like actually this amazing experience to be a professional athlete. And then three, like I have always loved to work. Even while I was an athlete in college, I always had a job. I always loved working. In high school, I had a job. Like, no matter what, I always make time to have a job. I just love to work. Working is how I learn things and how I understand the world. So I think there's three parts to it.
Mm-hmm. Got you. When you talk about not wanting to use soccer as a crutch anymore, so you make the decision, and that's a very, especially at that age, like just graduating, to even be aware of that, I think that's huge. Like, I'm using this as a crutch for things that I need to process inside. Most people at, you know, 22, 23 aren't thinking that deeply or that introspective. So when you no longer had soccer there, how did you then start to do that introspective work? Or did you find other ways of, you know, masking it?
I found other ways of masking it. I don't think something in myself, like my gut said, I'm done. Looking back, I can say that I knew it was because I was using soccer as a crutch and I had experienced through depression and that turned into eating disorders and really bad knee injuries back to back. All of that was a combination of like all the stress I was putting on myself. I couldn't quite articulate at that point that it was because it was me using soccer as a crutch that I had to get out of it. It was more so just like pure exhaustion from feeling I was like battling with something so big that I just didn't want to deal with it anymore. So I thought that by escaping the sport, I would escape also, like I would almost escape the what I was living inside my head, but that was not the case. Soccer helped keep me healthy in a sense of being able to like play on the field, but I wasn't healthy in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So Yeah, I don't think that, I think that leaving the sport was amazing for me, but either way, I would have had to address this at some point.
Right. When you were going through that period of, you know, all right, because you moved back home, I believe, right? Like, we're both from Southern California. You moved back home to Southern California immediately after leaving Georgetown, or no?
No, I started working for a startup called Super Coffee. One of my best friends from college, he and his brothers had founded this at Georgetown. And I knew I wanted to be around athletes. I knew I didn't want to go full corporate world. And I wanted to do something that was just exciting and that I just got to build things from scratch. So I joined them as their director of marketing and was in DC. And then I moved up to New York City to do that.
Gotcha. And so at the time, that's, I mean, that once again, I feel like you have this level of insight or just self-awareness that most people don't have, or at least didn't have at that period of time, especially when we, like, I think about myself, and maybe I'm just biased to think about me coming out of college and being like, what am I going to do? I have no idea. I don't even know how to put a resume together. But you were even thinking to the level of, I know I want to be around athletes. I don't want to do something corporate. And then you had opportunities or people around you where you could slide into a role like that. But still, I just think, how did you, was that from a lot of self-reflection, or how did you even get to a point where you were starting to define what you didn't want, which of course is arguably as important at first as, you know, figuring out what you do want?
Yeah, it's an interesting point that I've thought about a lot, like reflecting on the part of my early 20s, being 28 now. I think when you experience, for me, when I experienced depression so early, like 17, going into college, really understanding that I was struggling with that, I couldn't quite understand what it was before. I think I experienced it a little bit earlier too in high school. And then having the experience I did my freshman year of almost being kicked off my team because my coach was like, "You are medically not healthy enough, and I'm worried you might have a heart attack on the field," because my eating disorders had gotten so bad. It was like my greatest form of control over myself. I just had a lot of time to myself because I isolated myself completely. And for some reason, I was able to, kind of in the way an athlete does and like learning their sport, I start to understand a little bit more about myself. And every time I tried to like quit depression or quit an eating disorder or all these things, it's just, I don't know how, I just kind of like learned a little bit more about myself. What was like really toxic for me? What was not? But again, that didn't happen all at once. It happened over so many years. I would say like 8 years for me to like really get out of it. I also have always struggled with this, and I think it's a very much an athlete thing of like, what is the status quo and normal and acceptable? And like, what is truly going to fulfill like your uniqueness? And that's kind of what leads into my book, Becoming a Superhero. But it's really about like, how do you get away from this being so normal and like this perfect that doesn't exist to like live a life that's actually worth living for? Because I was at that point definitely in college. So, yeah, I think the self-reflection unfortunately came very early, but also now fortunately because I've been in so many dark situations with myself that I know what the pits of it are, and I know how to get myself out.
I know you mentioned earlier it was happening while you were at Georgetown, but I didn't realize it was starting in high school, or I think you said as early as 17 or even earlier than that, maybe. So it's interesting how that, although it's unfortunate and, you know, nobody wakes up in the morning wanting to go through these things, like you're saying, it's kind of, it gave you the tools to navigate it because you've experienced it so many times. It almost built, it's, I think it's that concept of like being anti-fragile, like rather than it just continuing to tear you down, every time you had a rough experience, it built you up and you got better at navigating those waters and bouncing back, so to speak, and pulling yourself out of it. I think that's really powerful that you develop that skill over time, you know?
Yeah, and I think that something that I actually just wrote a newsletter about for our company is this piece of vulnerability. And I think so much with now it's like be vulnerable, like be a vulnerable leader, be this, be that, like be extremely open to everyone. But I have to be honest, like, I don't think that strength always comes through vulnerability. I really believe that, like, sometimes strength is just like getting through it, like get through it, get to a place where you can be vulnerable. Because a lot of times, especially as athletes, we are so disciplined and so stuck in our heads of like how we need to do things. We will push ourselves to a place that probably is not okay or not healthy. But there is a fine line of like what's excellent and what is not healthy. And so I really think that same strength can like get you out of situations, or you can get the help from other people. But I also don't think that there is always room for vulnerability when you are in a place of kind of desperation. I'm very vulnerable about my story now, but there was a point in time where I was like, we are not telling anybody about this. This doesn't happen. This never happens. Like this is, we close this and it's not part of you. It's not part of your story, but it is crucial to who I am and what I'm building now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to skip any steps in the journey, Marina, but I have to ask, like, feel free to fill in the gaps as much as possible, but how do you go from that first job out of college to deciding I'm going to write a book? And I know there were other things in between that, like we met when you were starting, or you had, you know, we were working on We Are Jocks, and that was one of your first entrepreneurial projects. And then like, walk us through the steps from that first job to We Are Jocks, and then to eventually publishing Becoming a Superhero.
Yeah. So, but the theme of my life is like, I have to do things in order for me to learn and understand and like grow. I'm a big reflector, and then I have to go put it in action, like physically. So when I was leaving Super Coffee, it was a great first job experience. It was wild. I mean, it's a high growth startup, you know, right out of college, and I have no idea like actually what marketing is, but I still was dealing with a lot of mental health because it was such an intense job where you're driving all over the country all the time. You really don't have control over your life, but that's kind of what I wanted. I was still escaping the mental battles that I had to go face. And the depression got very real in New York City when things were at a very, very low point. If you're exhausted from your job, you know, something happens that sets you off. And like, I just remember being in my closet in like a loft that was completely dark and being like, I've never been so miserable in my life, and I don't know how to get out of this. So again, I had revisited that depression. I was like, I really need to change something. So I knew I needed some stability, and I finally got that from actually getting a corporate job for the last 4.5 years. But with that time, I started Jocks, which was a life after sports, because I thought that my issue was really that I was struggling with the transition from after sports. And I noticed so many athletes struggled with that. So I really wanted to start talking about it with people and talking about what they experienced. And that's when we kind of met, and I had hosted a couple of events in New York City and DC to get people and athletes together and bring this community together, because I genuinely was like, I need more athlete friends because you guys think the way I do and we're experiencing the same conflicts.
What's happening, beautiful people? I had to interrupt this episode really quickly just to ask you for a small favor. If you're listening to this episode, you're getting value from it, or if you've gotten value from any podcast episode you've ever listened to on the Thrive After Sports podcast, will you do me a favor right now? And please just leave me a 5-star rating or review. If you don't have time to write a review, just click the 5-star button in Apple Podcasts. Or if you're listening or watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, click the like button. It really helps get the message out about Thrive After Sports and this mission that I'm on to help more athletes not just survive, but thrive in life after sports. Aside from that, follow your boy on Instagram at Taj Deshaun. Connect with me on LinkedIn, Taj Deshaun. Really appreciate you guys tuning into the show week after week. The show is growing. You guys are continuing to share it. I can't thank you enough. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Let's get back to this episode. Peace. The moment you just shared with us about being in the closet and like having that moment to be able to navigate out of it and then use it to help other people, like, because you could have very easily just been like, what do I need? But I think in that moment, and that was one of the things we connected on early on, is like, no, we're trying to use our stories and the challenges we're going through to be able to help others, because we know there are other people out there. And, you know, I totally forgot that you were hosting events and stuff too. Like, I knew it was the podcast, but I mean, you hosted several events. I remember seeing that. That's, what was the experience like, you know, going from it being an idea in your head to being in the room and having all these other athletes come together and share their stories? Like, what were those first We Are Jocks events like for you?
And I hosted them. One of them I hosted in tandem with another woman who's now works in like the mental health space for athletes. So I do want to give her credit too. One was at a CrossFit gym in New York. And it was, I think what was so cool about it was the fact that like athletes who were at the time, I was 22, athletes who were like anywhere from 50 all the way down to 22 showed up. We had four panelists. One of my friends works at the Players Tribune. It was just an experience solely about sports and talking about not anyone's stats, not anyone like who is better than anyone else. It was just like this common group of like, yeah, I've experienced like something weird after leaving sports and I can't find a community. And that stuck with me so much. Like the individual podcast is kind of like the one-on-one interviews, you know, you get to know someone really deeply, but then at this event, you just feel like the love so much. So that's what those are crucial because they play into what we're building at Superhero so critically, but I definitely did not have that foresight when I was creating it.
Mm-hmm. And then how does that lead you to publishing the book? Like, what was the inspiration behind that?
So, and I'm not a bucket list person. Because I feel confined by bucket lists, like, oh, I have to go do that. So I was never someone who was like, I'm going to write a book because I want to write a book. That is some people's bucket list. That was not my intention. I had moved back to Washington, D.C. to start a corporate job. I said I wanted to lay low. I just wanted to work in consulting, which is like kind of a psycho thing to say because the hours are like 10 to 12 hours a day. And it's just like, it can be really intense. But I was like, I'm just going to do my job for a little bit. I did that. And I felt very unfulfilled coming home from work. I was like, I go to the gym, I do my job, I hang out with friends. It wasn't enough for me. I was like, I've been living with something that has touched me so deeply. I need to start talking about it, or at least I need to fully get over it because life feels so normal right now. And I don't like normal and comfortability. So 2020 hits, it's March 16th. I fly home, book a one-way flight from Washington, D.C. to Southern California. And I see on LinkedIn that one of my former professors is offering his book cohort to anyone, not just Georgetown alumni, but anyone. Formerly, this is only offered if you were an undergrad at Georgetown. He was one of my favorite entrepreneurial professors. And he said in his post, like, this changed the trajectory of my life. And as great as consulting was for me to like really learn some key like business acumen, it was not ever going to be my life. And so I said, I want to change the trajectory of my life. I want to use what I've experienced, and because whether I like it or not, it's a part of me, and write about it. And I said, at first, I was like, I'm going to write about women in leadership. So that is what got me interested in the book process. And then I just saw everything that was happening in COVID. And I was like, I just think the leadership everywhere is pretty bad. Like, really was not what I had experienced being, you know, having all these amazing coaches growing up. I was like, there is just bad leadership everywhere. And you don't hear about females ever and how they lead. You hear about whether they fail or what they carry in their purse, but you really don't know who they are as human beings. So that's why I started writing about women in leadership, and really with this mission of like, there's so many amazing leaders out in the world. I want to highlight some of the best that I can find, but you only hear about a lot of the poor leadership. So.
Right. Phenomenal book. I do want to encourage everybody to go get it. I'm not just saying that because Marina's my homie. Like, You gotta grab this book. You know, and this is coming from a guy reading about a bunch of women in leadership, and I enjoyed every page of it. And I got the signed copy, so you know, this is gonna be worth a lot of money one day. I should put this in a frame.
You know? Oh gosh, you know the thing is what I loved about what I did with my book and what I try to remember every day with Superhero, which is what the book is named after. Is that I could not interview all these unbelievably successful women. I'm talking about the best coaches in the world in this book, talking about top general counsels. I felt so awkward writing about them and documenting their lives. And for what? Like, how is their connection to me? And how is this solving my problems? I felt it was so weird to like, share another person's story, but like not talk about like what I was actually going through. So what we decided to do is once I captured all these stories, it's like I weaved all of like very pivotal stories in my life to the advice that they gave me. So it's kind of like my journey to superheroism as a 24, 25 year old at the time, using their feedback. So that's the part where I try to weave into Superhero Now is like, how do you be so relatable to people by being as honest as strong as you can be?
What's up, thriving athletes? One more quick interruption, then we'll get back to this episode. If you haven't done so already, please click the link in the show notes to join the Thrive After Sports collaborative community, or you can visit TajDeshaun.com. And on the homepage, click join our community. We'd love to see you on the inside, especially if you are a current athlete, former athlete, or someone who serves the athlete community. The Thrive After Sports community is the place for you. I'll see you on the inside. Back to this episode. Peace. Now, we're definitely going to talk about Superhero. But before we do that, I got to say this, because one of the things that I appreciate about you from the get-go, and I think I see a lot of this in myself, is you have a way of like doing something big and then disappearing for a little while to like go back to the drawing board and kind of like recreate, and then popping out and be like, now I'm working on this, and it's going to help so many people. Like, you go from we are jocks and then kind of going back into the corporate world for a little bit, and then you pop back out with this book, and then you kind of disappear for a little bit, and then you pop back out with Superhero, you know. And I think that's really cool, because it's like being really intentional about what you have to offer. And sometimes that takes time to craft, and like you have to go into the cave, so to speak, to build those things. So you come out with becoming a superhero. And then, at least from where I'm standing, I know you didn't actually disappear. You just went back and started cultivating and working on your next thing. And then you pop back out with Superhero. So please, let's talk about Superhero, the idea behind it, the vision behind it, and you know what's to come also.
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to create sportswear for female athletes to give them the freedom to perform. That's what we say. I lived with so much restriction when I was playing sports in terms of my sports apparel. I remember being a sophomore, having a volleyball game, and I was on this club team that we were sponsored by Roxy, and which is like the surf brand for women back in Southern California. And we had these like booty spandex that were just a nightmare, and I had just started to grow, and I that year I grew 6 inches. And I remember being at a tournament and being like, we're at this facility with all these parents, and every single move I'm pulling my shorts down, and moms would come up to me like, oh, you have such a nice booty, like all this stuff. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, my dad's in the crowd, this is like so uncomfortable, I can't. And I thought something, that was when I was like, something is changing about my body and it's not right. And I couldn't have been further from the truth. Like, I was growing muscles that would allow me to play a Division I sport that was not volleyball. And it just, the clothing reinforced that I was doing something wrong. And again, I took it out on myself. So I never forgot that moment, and it just got worse. As I got taller, as I got thicker, more muscular, more athletic, I started to reduce myself more. And then when the depression hit, the form of control was eating disorders, and that's all affects your physical body. And so that was something where it's like I lived in so much restriction But when I played my best, I was completely free. I didn't feel any of that. I just was in the moment. I was totally confident in who I was. And I remember those moments so vividly in my career. And even after, and like just doing athletics now, for fun, that I knew that that had to be the focus of this sports apparel. It's not just made for women by women. Like anybody, any woman can do that. It's what are you going to offer this person that is so, so far beyond, but also that she, in a way that she can perform at her best, because that's what we truly need.
So this is, go ahead, Marina. Go ahead.
Oh no, that's what I was going to say.
I was just going to say, you know, this is because, you know, news alert, I'm not a woman, right? But I work with a lot of former female athletes, and I learn something new about the experience of being a female athlete every time I do. And one thing that I see commonly, and I'm glad you're being very vocal about this and transparent about what you experience. One thing I see commonly, especially at the end of their sport, but we know it happens during the sport too, is body image. That's not something when I'm working with a male former athlete, he doesn't really care how he looks. It doesn't matter. We may talk about working out and routine, but women are like, okay, I'm not competing anymore. I feel like I'm gaining weight, or I'm not as muscular. And all these things start to come into play, which makes it even worse when you are also going through a transition. But so I think it's fascinating because, you know, you and I talked about superhero last time we met, and I don't even think you shared that level of, or that in depth of the backstory of how you went through that. It's crazy to think that you grew 6 inches and you were blaming yourself or your body rather than the clothing that you had on, and it wasn't equipped to be able to change with you, right? Were you wearing, so you were still wearing the same like size or the same Roxy apparel after growing 6 inches?
Yeah, I mean, it was, it also was like my size. Like I ordered my size. I had always ordered my size until I realized what size was like appropriate by society. And then I started reducing it. But at that time I was like, I'm trying to be the best athlete possible. Why? I actually wanted to have more curves growing up, so I was so like narrow and small. But yeah, I just, that it was the way the clothing fit. It wasn't like the size, it was like how it was made for, and it didn't fit anyone, but it like especially didn't fit me. And it just, it's so interesting because if you look at the dynamics of female athletes and like what we are requiring our bodies to do, not comparing at all to male athletes, just looking at female athletes, like it's tremendous the amount of performance we have to do, given like just even the way our hormonal cycles are, the way our body fluctuates like every single day. And the fact that like performance clothing for sports was hindering us in psychologically, but also like physically, and not being able to move and having to like pull things down all the time and cut out liners, stretch out shirts, like reduce, you know, roll things 20 times because they're so baggy. It's unbelievable like how it's 2023 and like it's not even taken into account. But I mean, you can say that for a lot of things, but yeah, it's wild. And the statistics are there. 75% of female athletes don't think they look like a female athlete. 80% or more, 80% reportedly struggle with body dysmorphia and eating disorders. I would say that statistic is like in the 90s. I don't know one female athlete that didn't struggle with body dysmorphia in my university. Wow. So yeah, it's profound. So what we're trying to do here is build the best apparel for female athletes to give them freedom. And that's freedom of peace of mind first, freedom while they play, and freedom to know that they have this whole sisterhood backing them, that it's not it's about what they look like, and that we want them to feel amazing in who they are, but it's not about what they look like, and that we are ever judgmental about the way clothes fit on them, because everybody is so unbelievably unique.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I appreciate most about what you're doing, because like you said, anyone can create some clothing that is, you know, made by athletes or for female athletes, made by female athletes, but to take into consideration not only how it's designed, but the materials, and then to add the layer on top of that of it's not just about the product, which is a great product, but it's also about the messaging that is wrapped around superheroes so that women can feel confident in themselves and they don't have to. Once again, you're doing something to help people avoid some of the things that you had to go through mentally and physically. And I think that's amazing. So where do you want to point people to? Because I know it's not just about the clothing, but if they want to keep up with you, if they want to follow the journey, if they want to follow Superhero, like, where's the best place to go?
The best place I would say is I'm relatively active online and open on how I'm building it. Honestly, if you want the stories behind that I'm experiencing every week, I would sign up for our newsletter, which you can do through our website at sprhra.com. If you want to follow me specifically and more of my day-to-day life, it's just at Marina Paul, my name. And then for superheroes content, it's at SPRHRA underscore. And those are all on Instagram for us right now. But I am trying to build this company with this strong vision I have, but so much feedback from female athletes, and that like basketball players will build a basketball uniform. It's the jersey I'm wearing right now. Soccer players will build soccer apparel. Collegiate and elite professional athletes will always be trying and sampling these. So at the best levels, like, these are approved. That is the best R&D I think you can ever do, because these athletes are living with it. Their emotions are into it. Like, their sweat, their blood, like, every single thing that they experience, their movement, their body changes throughout the day. You can't test that in a lab. So that's our model, and it will forever be our model. And you can have confidence in knowing that, like, these were built with women who are just like you, but you're also unique in yourself. And so we want to honor that.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about building in public, can you talk a little bit more about that? Cause you were sharing with me the other day how you will have current and former female athletes jump on these calls with you while you guys are building and having team meetings and giving feedback in real time. I feel like that's unheard of. And the fact that people even want to show up, and I know that number is constantly growing. I think you just posted something the other day. I'm seeing like 20, 30 faces on there. Like, talk a little bit about that philosophy behind just having an open door building process, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Okay, well, so this goes back to the community piece that we talked about earlier of, like, having these events. I just saw how amazing it was to, like, have people in the same room and just, like, be able to talk about common problems. So I took that model and I said, we're going to build a superhero athletics where it is current athletes. Right now, current athletes, collegiate and professional, but it will eventually scale to what we call forever female athletes. So people who've played at the collegiate level or at a high level, and they want to be a part of this group. Some people call it a focus group. I call it our athletic program, because we are directly getting feedback on, like, the actual product. So these people are testing it at preseason. They're testing it, you know, in 100 degree weather where there's a million bugs, because all of our fabric is now bug repellent. There is, like, these are actual athletes, like, playing in it, sweating it, doing all those things I just described. They're also informing us of, like, what events can we do on your college campus? What can we do in your professional groups? They're telling us, like, any of the common problems that they're experiencing, or sharing, just, like, we honestly kind of just, like, have, like, girl chat too. Like, we just, like, hang out and we just, like, say, hey, like, how are people's games going today or this week or this month? Like, what's going on? How's the injury coming? Like, it is just a group of female athletes that, like, doesn't exist out there, unless it's, like, on your individual team. So that is our athletics program, and this larger community that we have. I mean, what we try to make it feel, and what my dream is to have, like, eventually a clubhouse where, like, these athletes can, anyone from our community can come in and hang out. But it's really to create this, like, larger group of female athletes where they feel seen and they feel heard, and invite them into how we're building this company and get actually allowing them to give feedback. I think that's the biggest thing with women, is that women aren't listened to. We have a lot to say. We have a lot of opinions about how we can make things better for us. But you're seeing this surge in women, female entrepreneurs, mostly because nobody, the people empowered, like not listening to what we have to say and what we want to build. And so I know that fundamentally, and I've experienced that so much that I'm like, at Superhero, there we are creating a funnel where you can like directly give us not just feedback, but like share ideas and like actually feel like you have sort of equity in this brand that is built uniquely for you.
That's such an amazing concept of allowing the people who are actually going to be using the products to give feedback in real time while you're building it. And so if I'm listening to this podcast right now and I'm like, hey, I want to get on there and give my feedback and have my voice heard, what's the best way for me to do that?
Definitely email us. You can email me, Marina, at sprhra.com. We have a head of community. She's amazing. She was a rower at Georgetown, and then she is studying public health at Yale for a master's. So we think about community in a way that's kind of centered around how you would address like public health in a community. It's not transactional. It tries to be like as the least amount of transactional as it can be, but we really want to bring on as many athletes who really, you know, vibe with our mission and want to contribute any of their unique skills to what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this, before I forget to mention this, when you said you're building bug repellent into the clothing, or the clothing is bug repellent, that blew my mind. I'm like, that's genius. I mean, no.
Yeah. Oh, you know, well, because Austin's humid.
Oh yeah, Austin's burning up. I'm like, man, I might need to grab some for myself. You might see me running around with the sports bra on just to keep these bugs off me, you know?
I know, all it's funny because this is definitely not our intention, but a lot of my guy friends who are athletes here, they buy a lot of the shorts, and I'm just like, they're not made for you, but that's okay. But yeah, it ends up fitting men really well. But yeah, so the new fabric we're going, I'm like going to geek out for a second if I
can.
Go
ahead, please, please.
It has this element called graphene. So we're calling it the super graphene fabric. It literally defines a superhero woman in a fabric. It blows my mind, but we got this fabric. It has graphene in it. It's a property from graphite. It's incredibly healthy for you. It's normally used for dialysis patients and like medical equipment, and then bulletproof vests, airplanes, because it has the strength properties of a diamond. So like this is made with like a polyester blend, some spandex, and then 30% graphene. I can like try and break this and like it's not gonna rip. So that's why it's used for airplane, bulletproof vests, everything like that. It also like it's UV protectant. It aids in recovery. So it like emits infrared light, like the same as infrared sauna. So if it's compressive, like it actually will help increase your blood flow, bring waste to your kidneys, all that. Look it up, biology. But what else? It's bug repellent. So one of my friends asked, like, is it going to wash out? No, because bugs cannot detect sweat or skin through the garment. So they'll like land, like mosquitoes will land on this, but they're not able to detect my sweater skin. So they'll just fly away. So it's not, I can't like wash out. What else? I'm like, what else is there? Yeah. I said UV protected. It's antibacterial, which is like a huge thing for women. A lot of guys ask me like, wow, do you guys like, is that important for you guys? Yes. It's massive. For women, I think for all people, but especially for women, especially if you're going to be in your clothing for like more than 2 hours, your sports clothing sweaty for more than 2 hours, that is because the graphene creates a barrier so that the bacteria can't multiply and grow together. So it just dies. And the other thing is, it's like, it's odorless, because if graphene can't, odor comes from bacteria and sweat. So if graphene prohibits bacteria from growing, you're not going to be able to it's not going to be able to create odor. There, you might still smell your body odor, but it's not going to come from the clothing. So we had an example of how we tested it. I drove the first samples to William & Mary Women's Basketball. They tested them for a week, and they like called me. They're like, I'm like smelling my face as in my sweaty jersey, and like I can't smell anything. Like, this is amazing. But we had them test it. We had San Diego State Women's Basketball test it. We had Georgetown Women's Soccer, Georgetown Basketball test it. So every single piece of feedback they give me, I call our manufacturer in Los Angeles, and like they're huge women's sports advocates, and they just make it. They make the edits, and then now we're about to launch this new collection on October 2nd, and yeah, it's gonna be pretty cool.
Let's go. I'm about to. You said it, the women's stuff fits the men's. Like you have guys who are buying.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, especially the shorts, which I didn't think with the shorts, but because they're high waistband, but apparently, like guys like the high waistband. Yeah, I think the biggest thing for us is like all of the fabric qualities are amazing, right? But if you don't feel good in your clothing, like if you it does not fit you right, and it does not enable you to be better, not just like fine at your sport, but if it does not help your performance, then we're not doing our job. So like, I will never be someone where fabric matters the most. Just like I will never be someone that says like your touch on the ball matters the most. It's like your fitness, your sports acumen, like all those things that make you an amazing athlete. We take that same approach to like how we build products in this community.
That's incredible, Marines. Like that is
yeah.
What you just described. I'm glad you took that moment to geek out, like you said, because you just described
so
something.
Hyped up.
No, that's like, you should be hyped up. That's amazing. I'm hyped up. Like I'm serious about going to grab some shorts for myself just to try them out, you know? And I think like what you just described is straight out of a comic book. Like the name superhero is perfect. You've literally thought of everything and more things that people aren't even thinking about. I would never have thought about anti-bug or, you know, bug repellent in clothing or in addition to all the other things you described. So and I know this is just the beginning. Yeah. To me, that's the most exciting part is like you already have all these features that make this product different and, you know, are going to like change the game in terms of, you know, women's sports apparel. And you're just getting started. So like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you might have some clothing that could, you know, have people flying or you put this suit on, you'll lose weight or something. You wear this, you lose. No,
oh
that's
my
incredible.
Gosh, I would love to fly. No, and what I think is so cool is like, I wanted to create something that was unbreakable. I don't want to use the term unbreakable because that's a friend's company's name, but it like you could literally do superhero things in it and it would not stop you. Like it would help you. And this is like proving that it enhances your performance, it enhances your health, whether it's psychological again, or like actually is antibacterial and all that, it, you know, aids in recovery. Because that is what women deserve. Like that is the quality of what women deserve. We don't just deserve like what everybody else gets. We don't just like get, you know, this right equity. It's like by ourselves, solely just women, we deserve the best of the best of the best. And that is like overall my mission to give us the freedom to perform. Like we deserve the best. And so whether it's a female athlete or it's another woman looking to get into sports, like that is my goal, my mission for her. And we'll just create products and a community and a brand that does that.
Mission accomplished. You've already done it. That's the best part about it. Like you've already done it and you're just getting started. So I know we're coming up on time. I have to ask you one more question because I think you'll be able to drop some gems here. You know, the people who listen to this show, these are current athletes, former athletes, people who are aspiring entrepreneurs. They want to make their leave their mark on the world. What advice can you give to an athlete right now who doesn't really know who they are outside of the jersey and is unclear about where they want to go long term? Can you just share some words with the Thrive After Sports family on that note?
Yeah, I'll say something that you might be like, what? I thought becoming a superhero was stupid. I thought superhero was stupid. I thought jocks was stupid. I thought my events were stupid. Like every single thing I did, I was like, there's no way I can do this. And it's such a bad idea. It's such a bad name. Every single thing I did has led me to where I am today. And you even saying that like superhero, like that's the perfect name for this. I'm still like convinced. Like I'm confident in it, but there are moments where you're like, can I do this? Same as being an athlete on the field. Like, can I really go win a national championship? Can I really go hit these goals that I really set out to do? Do I feel embarrassed and stupid? And I think the biggest thing for me, just as a human being with all of the things I've already experienced and still have yet to learn, my biggest thing is like, you got to keep moving. like you have to keep moving forward. You cannot get stuck in something. Like just because you are an athlete, you have to keep moving and going after things that excite you, and going after things that are hard, and like really turning it, listening to your gut and your intuition. And if you don't know how to do that, you have to go find out what your intuition is. So the biggest things I would say is like, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to have a transition. You have to keep moving forward. Pretend like it's a game that, you know, you lost and you're really upset and you have to, you know, you have to move on. You have to go to the next thing. Number two is like learn how to listen to your intuition and your gut and really spend time focusing on that person, because it's you are the only thing that you have and you're guaranteed in this life. And then number three, like, don't do this world a disservice by just not using your uniqueness. Like once you find your uniqueness by moving, by listening to your gut, go out and find a way to use it. Doesn't matter if it's in the corporate world. That's an amazing option too. It just wasn't for me. But don't just settle for less than, because you will just be disappointed in yourself for the rest of your life. And that's like the worst feeling you could ever have. So keep moving, find out how to listen to your gut and use your uniqueness to like do something inspiring that elevates you and others.
Mm. Amen. Mic drop. Man, Marina, you came through today and set the podcast on fire as I knew you would. Thank you for what you're doing in the world. You are a prime example of what it looks like to thrive after sports. For everybody listening, go tap. Today is the launch day, the official launch day. If you're listening to this episode, all the notes are in the go check the show notes. Go to superhero.com, tap in with Marina, follow the journey, and we'll see you guys on the very next episode. Thanks again, Marina.